Hi, this is Michelle, a listener from St. Petersburg, Florida, and I just wanted to say I am loving Positive Thin Pack. All of the stories are so relatable, and I'm so proud of Barjory for trying out different things and seeing what works for her, and I can't wait to keep listening, and I can't wait to continue hearing about her journey. Go Positive Thin Pack!
You are listening to the Positive Thin Pack podcast.
My name is Aiden. I'm a public speaker, a business consultant, a corporate trainer, and a professional improviser.
And I'm Marjory.
And we've been friends for 14 years. This podcast is an experiment
where we talk about me trying every diet program under the sun and the moon and who knows where else.
The Positive Thin Pack podcast is proudly sponsored by The Art of Change, Skills for Life. Change is inevitable. Progress is not. You make the difference. To learn more, visit artofchange.com. Our genetic makeup has a lot of influence over who we are and how we relate to the world around us. For example, I think cilantro tastes like soap, along with a significant part of the population, due to a couple of genetic markers. In today's episode, we are going to talk about genetics, because Marjory got tested. I just was finishing up a little snack before I got on this call. I was having a little bit of avocado on rice cake with sea salt and onion flake. And I don't know what that sounds like to you, but it was delicious.
It doesn't sound bad as long as the avocados are smushed.
Yeah, nope. I sliced them.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. There's something about, I don't know what it is.
Well,
you, me and fruit just don't mix, man.
I love fruit. I think it's super weird that you don't like fruit.
Yeah, most of the people that I know think it's super weird also.
Most of the people I know think it's super weird that I don't like cilantro. But it's like a surprisingly high percentage of people cannot tolerate cilantro. It tastes like soap to me. And I understand that other people think it tastes refreshing, like mint or basil, but cilantro flavored. But to me, it doesn't taste that way. It just tastes like soap. Like the way soap smells is the taste that I taste.
Yeah, but that's like a genetic thing. They've actually isolated a gene that some people have that makes cilantro taste like soap.
Well, what a perfect transition to our topic for today, Marjory.
Yeah.
You said that you did a genetic test. So we're talking about your genetic test today.
Yeah. So my Prime Day acquisition was a 23andMe kit with the health reports included. I was mostly interested in the health reports.
Well, before we get into any of your results, we should save those. I think we should talk about the ethics of genetic testing, because I think it's super creepy and I think it's super scary. And everyone I know is doing it and I have not, and I'm afraid to. It's headlines like this that are like, the 5 biggest risks of sharing your DNA with consumer genetic testing companies, and genetic testing, the next big arena for fraud, and the dangers of government's DNA testing program. And from Genetics Digest, find your ancestors, lose your privacy.
Yeah, but on the other side of that, there's all the headlines of 20 and 30 plus year old murder and rape cases that are being connected to the people that did them through family members doing these genetic testing kits.
I mean, it's so crazy.
And that's kind of cool.
It's cool, but what it means is, what it means, it's cool. But what it means is, like, even if I don't, opt to get my genetics tested because so many of my family members have opted in. That ship has sailed anyway.
I think you should definitely be concerned about the fact that your family members have done this. If, you know,
okay, but
you
I didn't
killed or raped
just to
somebody.
Be clear. I help people. I'm joy driven. I bring joy to people's lives. Just matters to me. So just like to be clear, there's nothing at risk in that regard. I'm not like hiding a bunch of bodies in the backyard or anything horrifying. Or even anything that would hint at anything being like mildly weird. You know, like, nothing. I'm a very normal, for whatever it's worth, person.
One of the other things that's cool slash creepy is that thanks to Crystal, yeah. Which I've seen compared to easily editing genes, like editing a Word
document.
I don't
think it's that simple.
I'm going, oh my
gosh. Yeah, I don't
gosh.
Think it's that simple. That is kind of a cool slash creepy concept, though, the like gene editing thing. But like, I think it's not as simple as it sounds.
I don't know. It sounds pretty simple. So one of the things that is so intriguing about this is the applications in medicine for personalized medicine.
Well, so you splurged on this 23andMe kit for Prime Day. Apologies, Prime employees, and you're welcome, Amazon, for our business. it's all so ethically confusing these days.
I know, everything is. It reminds me of when I was I in high school or middle school? And
I don't know the answer.
I decided at some point that I was going to boycott tobacco companies. And therefore, I was going, and keep in mind, this was prior to the internet.
Also, were you smoking in the first place?
No, but my dad did. He was a chain smoker. So,
okay.
He was like a 2-pack-a-day smoker at the time. And I was pretty anti-smoking because I used to get sick after he dropped me off on Monday mornings because I was mildly allergic to smoke. And so anyway, it definitely took its toll on me though. All the secondhand smoke from my parents. But anyway, so I decided that I was going to boycott tobacco companies. And so my dad like helped me do research onto what that would entail. And he pretty much proved to me that I would need to walk naked through the streets and eat dirt.
Is that because of the relationship between clothing companies, tobacco companies, food companies, all being owned by one sort of larger organization or being financially tied? Okay.
Yes. And at the time, who was it? Was it Reynolds? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. One of the big, or Philip Morris, I think it was Philip Morris, owned Kraft. And then they owned like just half of the planet at the time. And so, like I say, my dad helped me research this and he was just like, so you see that, you know, you're basically going to have to eat dirt and go naked, right? And I'm just like, wait, what? Yeah. Ever since then, I tend to not get caught up in those things, even though I understand that they are ethically ambiguous.
Muddy
is a better word.
Yeah.
Muddy is a much better word because I realize when you fall on one side or the other, it's not ambiguous for you.
True. That's a good point. Okay. Well, so you are interested in doing this, not just to find out like some of us are from France. You were like, I want to know what the medical lay of the land might look like. Is that right?
Yeah. And then I think too, speaking of France, so my mother's side, my mother was French, not from France, but her, I want to say she was like a fourth or fifth generation American, or even maybe third or fourth anyway, but on her dad's side, those people were like from France And then on her mom's side, they were Cajuns. So they were, you know, these were all people in Louisiana that came to Louisiana by way of French Canada from Arcadia.
I so, love the way you say Louisiana.
Oh, that's how you're supposed to say it.
So on the West Coast, we say Louisiana.
Right. Yeah. When you're in Louisiana, you say Louisiana.
Well, okay then.
You know, because you come from Louisiana for to see your Susiana.
Apparently, I say a lot of these things differently than people expect. For example, I received a comment recently regarding our episode where we defined tiny tacos. We received a comment that somebody really enjoyed the way I say taco, and I still can't figure out what I'm saying that's different from everybody else.
I don't know.
Taco, 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 taco. I don't know.
Taco? Maybe they say taco.
Taco. Well, up in the Midwest, we sure do like our tacos.
Right. Exactly.
Apologize to people who live in the Midwest. Anyway. Okay, I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm excited. So let's...
Okay.
So before you tell me the results, can you tell me what the readout looks like? Like, what's the layout of the document? Since I haven't done this, I've seen people sharing on social media, like, a picture of a map.
So I don't have any of that. I have an app.
Oh.
It's There's not a 23andMe app. No. Who prints things anymore?
Oh my God. So
you're such a Luddite.
I just, oh wow. I totally pictured you getting like an envelope in the mail filled with paper that had printouts of the things that they discovered about you. But of course, that makes sense. It would be digital. Because I live in 2019.
Does it count that I got an email saying, go to the app, your results are in.
Oh, good gravy. See, it's important that I ask then, because I had this visual of, like, you know, white paper in a stack stapled in the top left corner and lots of data and charts.
And graphs.
And also graphs. Both pie charts and bar graphs. That's what I pictured. So, okay. So it's an app. So you go into the app and what do you see?
Well, and so first, you know, it does tell you your ancestry. And this is one of the things that's always bugged me, because you hear about, you know, well, what is it? Is it the South Beach diet? What's the diet where they talk about how you need to eat like French people because they're always thin?
I don't think it's the South Beach diet. That one's about like getting enough fiber to be heart healthy.
Okay.
I think I could be wrong.
I haven't researched that one yet.
You know, I don't know. Maybe our listeners can answer this question in our comments. But yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to look as we're, you know, continuing to add to our list of things to try.
Yeah, it seems like I've read many magazine articles about how, you know, you should eat like the French. And then part of me thinks, but, you know, most of the really horrible, delicious things we have come from French cuisine, like gravy and cream-based soups.
Right.
And, you know, all these glorious, wonderful things. And so I think, well, you know, I'm not sure about that.
I was super curious while you were saying this. So I Googled eat like the French and I found an article that says, I'm an American who ate like a French person for a week, and it showed me just how different our diets really are. This is from 2018. I'll share this link on our Facebook page. I haven't read it yet, so it could be terrible, but I'm promising to share it.
So anyway, but point being, my mother was like 100% French ancestry. Ish. And then my dad's mom was from Louisiana, and his dad, I don't know. There's rumors that I think daddy told me at one point that he thought that that one of my cousins traced our lineage back to, I want to say Benedict Arnold's brother. I'm not sure. I don't know that that's a real thing.
And so this is all what you've been told about your family's heritage. Yes, right? This is all
conjecture.
Great. But before you tell me what it actually is, can I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. And to do this, do I have to, like, should I guess percentages? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, it does tell you percentage.
Okay, great. This is exciting.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
What's our margin of error here? Like, if I'm really? In the ballpark, does that count?
Sure. I'll give you that.
Okay. Great. I'm going to start with, first, does it narrow it down by country or is it by region?
So it narrows it down by region and then it kind of gets into country, but it's still pretty broad.
Okay. So like Eastern European, Western European, Northern African, well, Southern African, that kind of thing.
Something like that. Yeah. In my case, I'll give you a hint. I'll say, it would not be Eastern and Western European. It's more North and South.
Oh, okay, great. So would it be like South Central?
No. There's my hint.
Okay, great. I think you've got a mix of 23, not just because it's called 23andMe, but because it's a really fun number to say, 23% Northern European, 62% Southern European, 8% West African, 2% Native American. I haven't been doing the math. I don't know if these numbers add up.
Okay. So
4%.
You're pretty far off base.
4% Asian.
And 12%.
Yes. And 12% Inuit.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Tell me. I am 99.5% European, which I would expect.
Okay, pretty sure that's what I said.
But I've been 75% French and 25% British. And what surprised me is that I am approximately 46% British and Irish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And
based only on stereotypes in my head, just FYI.
Oh, of all the delicious starchy foods I love?
Yeah, just like how much you love starchy food and how much starchy food is from that area. I'm like, yeah, totally. Born to eat potato. Roger that.
Exactly. And 27.5% French and German. So, but I'm telling you, I think that's, well, it even specifies France and Switzerland.
Oh, wow.
For me. I don't believe there's any German in me. So anyway, but I was really surprised that, cause like I say, I thought it was 75-25 French British, and turns out it's, you know, almost half British and a little over 25% French. So that was strange for me. And then the rest of it is 4% Scandinavian, 10.7% broadly Northwestern European. I don't know what that means. And then only 10% Southern European, which is a mix of Spanish and Portuguese, Italian, and then broadly Southern European. And only 0.5% East Asian and Native American, which is then broken up into 0.3% Native American and 0.2% broadly East Asian and Native American.
Oh, interesting. Which is not a high enough percentage to get you a free college education.
Okay. Not at all. No casino money for me.
All right. That's okay. Great. So that's the ancestry piece.
There were some interesting health insights.
All right, let's hear them.
So I'm largely healthy is one of them.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not really genetically predisposed to very many horrible things, with the exception of macular degeneration.
Interesting.
Which might, well, actually, my ophthalmologist told me that white people are prone to macular degeneration, and at 99.5% European ancestry, I am one of the whitest people you've ever met.
Okay, and so that and macular degeneration, does is that just tooth decay? What is macular what is it?
It has to do with your eyes, with your retinas, and so probably in my old age I'll go blind.
Oh, gotcha. So I was super off base.
I've actually
well yeah. to be fair my degree is in history. So I didn't study a lot of biology.
And also, to be fair, your eyes are in your head, and so
thank
are your
you.
Teeth.
I really appreciate that. I feel like I sounded like such a fool. I'm sorry, Dad. My dad's a doctor, so I think he's going to be a little disappointed in me there. But moving on. All right. So, what else did you learn?
And then I met a slightly higher risk of hemochromatosis, which is when you have too much iron in the blood. But I've always tended towards the opposite problem, mm-hmm. which is anemia. And so it even says not likely, you know, an increased risk. I think it's a very slight. But other than that, largely not much going on.
So then, does that mean then, like, you know how some people blame weight gain or difficulty losing weight? They blame it on, like, it's genetics. Does that mean that this says you can't use that reasoning?
Well, yes and no. Because those were just what 23andMe divulged to me. But when I uploaded the information into another app, that deals with specifically health conditions. And it confirmed some things for me, more than anything else. I was, I guess, surprised-ish at a couple of the things that it said. And so one of the things, that it confirmed for me is that I tend to handle cholesterol better than most. In fact, I have protective markers that may improve my fitness and have a lower genetic susceptibility to develop conditions associated with long words that basically mean clogged arteries.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So, so like I say, then it kind of makes sense that I would respond okay to this 10-hour coffee diet where, you know, your fat intake is a little increased. It also says that I'm a little resistant to malaria. So, you know, there you go.
Congratulations. That should set you up for great success in traveling to places where there is malaria. So, but when you get
is that mosquitoes that have malaria?
Yeah, I mean, that's the flip side of that is you do not do well with mosquito bites.
But what's funny is I'm totally allergic to mosquito bites. So maybe that's whatever my malaria fighting self is kicking in and going, okay, let's make giant welts on you instead of just the traditional.
Yeah, maybe.
That's why it looks like I've got hives all the time. Anyway.
Well, so what are you going to do with all this information?
Well, so I'm going to probably upload it into one of those companies that uses it to come up with a diet. And that'll be what I try at some point in the future.
Cool.
Also, one of the things that it told me, let me see, I think it was on the 23andMe app. I think it told me that I also probably don't like cilantro. Which
but
is
you
hilarious,
do.
Because I love cilantro.
So, I mean, okay.
I'm one of the people that
okay,
loves
so
it.
So a little bit, this just sounds like BS then, because if it's like, you're prone to these illnesses and these proclivities and these preferences, and then you're like, but actually I'm the opposite. It seems like it doesn't.
Well, but it just says that I have a slightly higher odds of disliking cilantro.
So it doesn't, actually, I mean, so, okay. So what is it basing all of this on? Just the average of people who have already submitted genetic testing to
no,
how does it determine?
No, there are two genetic markers associated with people that describe the taste of cilantro as soapy. It's RS2741762, which affects your cilantro preference, and RS3930459.
Oh, that one.
Which affects your cilantro. So these are specific genes. And
I mean, what do I know? I'm not a geneticist.
Yeah. And so there's variants that are associated with people that don't like it. So I bet if you did do this, you would have them.
I mean, probably, because cilantro tastes like soap.
Where I really don't have that problem. Although I have to be honest, I don't eat a lot of raw cilantro. I mostly eat it cooked in things. And I think you've said it doesn't bother you as much.
Yeah, it does not bother me as much when it's cooked in small amounts. But if it's like last night, I had a chimichurri sauce that had cilantro in it. And it wasn't great, but it was fine. It didn't make me gag or anything. But like when I make chimichurri sauce, I use parsley.
I think when I've made chimichurri, I've used parsley as well.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to use parsley. And this restaurant was just being like super fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they got to charge you another $1 for using cilantro, even though it's cheap as well. But anyway, mm-hmm. But I'm also more likely to prefer chocolate over vanilla ice cream. So now I'm only going to eat chocolate. So I think this is interesting. And like I say, probably I'll upload my data into something that's more nutrition focused, because I found that different sites look at different things, and once you have your profile, what's nice is you can upload it into these different places and get more insights, because I guess I don't know if they interpret them differently or if they're looking at different markers. And your profile, I think, contains pretty much all the markers, you know.
Well, this has all been very fascinating, I must say. But I feel like my brain can't fully process all of what I'm hearing. So I think the thing that I'm taking away from this that's the most exciting is that I just learned from you saying that you're going to upload this to a thing that uses your genetic information to create a custom diet. I just learned that existed. So like that's currently the thing I'm most excited about with all of this.
Yeah. And well, and then I think that was one of the things that I was interested too, is because they can see like how you metabolize certain medications. And so for instance, I think, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast before, but many years ago when I was in the throes of desperation and I desperately wanted to just go check myself in somewhere to get better because of my food problems, I actively tried to get addicted to opioids, and it did not take.
Wow.
It was just not my jam.
Can't blame a girl for trying.
It wasn't for me. And I would forget to take the pills. They don't really work that well for me. So anyway, one of the things that I found out is that I tend to not be addicted to opioids, and I guess I metabolize them pretty quickly. So
fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. So that was pretty fascinating. And then,
so score one for genetic testing.
And it also said that I tend to react quicker to statins, which are the drugs that they give you to not, you know, to lower your cholesterol, which I've never had to take. But anyway, it's nice to know that if I had to take them at some point,
they would work.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Because I read a headline recently saying that they actually don't work for most people and are a waste of money and resources.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. You know, the world is full of these contradictions. What are you going to do?
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking me on a tour of your genetic makeup and taking our listeners along for the ride as well. So for now, we're still sticking to the coffee plan because you handle cholesterol so well. but in the future, when we're ready to switch gears again, I'm super excited about this idea of finding a custom diet based on your genetic makeup. It's the one thing that makes this genetic testing thing sound semi-intriguing for me.
Me too. I'm super excited too. So hopefully I can find something, although I have a feeling it'll just be probably more of what I already know and confirming it.
Well, you know, when you have believed something or know something or spend time learning about something, often new information just gets filed into reinforcements.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to take off.
Okay.
So, listeners, here's to you. May next week be filled with healthy living. Nope, that's not the tagline.
How can you make your positive thin pack today?
Oh, see, you're actually really good at taglines. It's really good. Positive thin packed. Looking at you. Nope, I think you've got the gift.
And also, people, please don't forget, get in touch with us on all the things at Positive Thin Pact on Facebook and at P Thin Pact on Twitter and Positive Thin Pact on MyFitnessPal. You can also leave us a voicemail. How do they do that?
Yeah, you just visit our anchor.fm / or / I don't know, it's a / Positive Thin Pact, and there's a button right there, and you can leave us a voice message, which we may choose to include in a future episode. But we know that you're probably listening on any number of platforms, so feel free to share us with your friends. They can find us on Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more. So look for us where you listen to your podcasts, or tell your friends to look for us there.
And if you enjoy listening to us, please don't forget to review and rate us.
Oh yeah, good call. And if you don't like listening to us, please do not review and rate us. Thank you. Also, what are you still listening for if you're not into it? Like, no offense, but make better use of your time. And to those of you who do enjoy us, thank you so much. We enjoy you. We enjoy you as well. Okay. And with that, may you all go forward and have a positive thin pact on yourselves. Still a work in progress. Bye.
Bye.